Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Week two in our three-week series, The Lost, The Least, The Lonely, answering the question, who do we exist to serve? Why are we here? And last week we answered the question, we exist in large part to serve the lost. Today, we're going to get at the second one, the least. Jesus says in Matthew 25, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, somebody say least. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did to one of the least of these, Jesus said, you did to me. And then Mother Teresa, y'all know Mother Teresa, she said this when referencing the poor. When referencing the poor, she said, each one of them is Jesus in disguise. Now, during this teaching, I'm going to ask a boatload of questions that I'm going to have you think upon. And I don't know if they require a verbal answer or more just something for you to think about. But I know that this first heavy, deep, and profound question needs a verbal response if you can answer it. Do you know who this is? That first slide. There he is. Yeah. Who is it? How many of you do not know who Underdog is? All right, stand and we'll pray for you. Underdog. He's a superhero who, okay, hang on. Here's the second heavy, weighty question. How many of you know his alter, you know, Superman was Clark Kent. How many of you know who Underdog is? Here's a hint. Somebody said, Shoeshine Boy. Shoeshine Boy became Underdog. 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 A person, a team, etc., that is expected to lose a contest or a battle. Underdog. A less powerful person or thing that struggles against a more powerful person or thing. A less powerful person or thing that struggles against a more powerful person or thing. Underdog. Underdog. Truly, I tell you, whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do unto me. Underdog. The first recorded use of this term underdog was a long time ago in the 19th century, and it described in a literal dog fight, which they had for fun. They didn't, you know, have NFL back then, so they needed some form of violence. So they put dogs in an arena, and the dog that lost, anybody want to guess what his name was? No, it was Ralph. I'm just kidding. Of course, it's Underdog. Underdog, and they used it to describe, I'm reading now some old literature, the beaten dog in a fight. Two questions. Have you ever felt like the beaten dog in a fight? Yeah. I mean, really, have you ever felt like the beaten dog in a fight? And then maybe second question, do you know people today who are the beaten dog in the fight? See, Jesus makes it clear, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. Here's the point in the message today, and if you can only hear one thing, hear this. Jesus loves the underdog. The underdog has a very special place in the heart of the Almighty. In fact, Jesus himself had a ministry largely to the underdog, to the least. So we read in Luke chapter 4, the first public words recorded of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus went to Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Now, what's going on? Jesus is declaring, this is what my ministry will be about. He's reading from the Old Testament Isaiah, and he's saying, this is what the ministry the Father has given to me, has anointed me to be about. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. To the poor. This is the underdog, the least. And I'm wondering, when is the last time you had any interaction with the poor? The underdog. The least. He said, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, underdogs, the least. And I'm wondering, when was the last time you ministered to somebody who was stuck in bondage? When was the last time you ministered to somebody stuck in bondage? He sent me to bring recovery of sight for the blind, the disabled, the underdog, the least. And I'm wondering, when's the last time you showed the love of Christ to someone who was disabled? And to set the oppressed free, the oppressed, the underdog, the least. When was the last time you ministered to somebody who was just oppressed? Then Jesus rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today the scripture's fulfilled in your hearing." He's saying, "Today good news to the underdog, to the least, has found fruition in me." Do you know that to be a, who am I talking to? How many of you would call yourself a Christian? You don't have to be to go to this church, but stand up nice and tall, would you? Even if you're a visitor and you call yourself a Christian, I'm now talking to you. That's good. It's good to get moving around, okay? Yes. All right, if you're a Christian, raise your right hand. Put your right hand in. Shake it all about. Stay standing. Now, if you're a Christian, it means literally to be a little Christ, to be like Christ. And so if Jesus had a ministry that was predominantly geared towards the underdog, the question begs to be asked of you, when is the last time you served an underdog in your life? Is your church involvement marked predominantly by sitting in church and simply singing? It's a phenomenal thing that we do when we worship, but if that's the extent of our church involvement, if that's the extent of our faith, we've missed out on what Jesus' ministry was and thus our call to follow in his image. So we've been saying this a lot lately. You got to get off your church butt and bring the kingdom of God where you go. And that's why I'm having you stand. Did you know that in the same chapter, Luke 4, I'm going to have you sit in a minute. If I can stand this long, you can too. You're doing fine. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to reach out these underdogs," a few verses later, this is what he says. He says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because that is why I was sent." The kingdom of God is why Jesus came. And the kingdom of God is nothing other than a ministry to the underdog, to the least in this world. Brothers and sisters, do you have any least in your life that needs a ministry through you of Jesus Christ? The underdog. You can sit down. No, really, let's think about that now. Here, okay, now you're sitting on your church butt. But while you're sitting on your church butt, imagine this. I have another question. What if a stranger had superpowers and morphed into a fly? Play along here. And began following you for a week. Nothing creepy, you know, nothing behind closed doors, but just your public life. What if they followed you around in the form of a fly and you wouldn't know they were there, but they were there to see everything that you did, said, every action you rendered, every action you didn't render, every dollar you spent, every free moment you gave away. Would that fly be able to say beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know what, this person right here loves like Jesus loved? Would that fly be able to say of you, you know, this person really loves the underdog. This person really gets that ministry to the least. This person is about the things Jesus is about. Or would that fly just shake its little head and say, I see faith without action. Now, here's the deal. These aren't my words, but these are the half-brother of Jesus' words, James. He says, faith without action is what? Say it like you mean it. Dead. Faith without action is? Dead. Well, maybe I'm just pulling something out of one passage that's not accurate. Maybe Jesus really didn't have a full ministry to the least. Maybe I'm just kind of over-exaggerating one thing. So let's look maybe. Who else did Jesus minister to? Did he put his money where his mouth was? Or is this Luke 4 passage where he said, you know, God anointed me to do these things? Maybe he was just giving lip service. Or did Jesus actually have a ministry to the underdog? Well, he ministered to a woman who was a social pariah, an outcast, who in that day had had five husbands and was living with someone who wasn't her husband. In that day and age, that was unheard of. Even in this day and age, that's a little shocking, but in that day and age, nobody would even talk to this woman. Jesus went to her and gave her the gift of friendship. What about that woman caught in adultery? Again, back in that day and age, they didn't have TV shows and commercials that kind of made light of adultery and made it as if it were the way. Back in that day and age, if you were caught in adultery, due to the old Hebraic laws, you were worthy of being stoned to death, and not the happy stone that some of you get with that lettuce stuff, you know, that you smoke. We're talking stoned with rocks that kill you. We're talking someone who had done something so horrific that the religious people of the day couldn't even stand their life to go on. And Jesus stepped in front of this least of these, knelt down between her and her accusers and said, hey, nobody can be throwing stones because none of you are sinless. Or what about the time that he touched the blind man and the blind man saw? What about that other time when he touched the blind man and the blind man kind of saw? So Jesus spit in some dirt and made some spitty mud and slapped it on his eyes? Because sometimes when Jesus brings a healing, it's incredibly intimate and personal. And he brought healing to the blind man. Or what about the time that Jesus came upon that guy who couldn't hear? Jesus touched his ears and he could hear. But what about the time that one guy, he couldn't even walk, and Jesus says, do you want to walk? And the guy said, well, no one can help me. Just get up. And he got up. What about that other time when that dude had four friends who wanted their lame buddy to walk, but they couldn't get to Jesus because the crowds were so big, so they ripped the roof off the ceiling and lowered him. And Jesus wasn't even concerned about construction costs at the time. He just said, pick up your mat and walk, because Jesus loved the underdog and his life was marked with everyday ministry to the underdog, to the least. What about the insane or the demon-possessed, the people that were chained up in the cemetery because they were so nuts, nobody wanted to be around them? What about those insane type people? Did Jesus love on them? You bet he did. When the insane encountered Jesus, they left sane and in their right mind. What about that prostitute that everyone said, don't touch her, don't talk to her? Jesus received her gift of love and loved her back and said, hey, you Pharisees, just shut up. What she's doing is going to be upheld for thousands of years to come. He accepted a relationship with a prostitute of a woman. This Jesus in the scriptures, you can't read his story for long without seeing that Jesus loved the least. He had a special place in his heart for the outcast. Or what about that guy we looked at a few weeks ago, that outcast, the guy who cheated and stole from his friends, who used the power behind him to get his own gain at the expense of the people, that guy named Zacchaeus that nobody wanted anything to do with. Jesus not only wanted something to do with, Jesus had a purpose for him and said, come on, we're going to hang out, we're going to eat lunch, and your life will be changed. Jesus loved the underdog, even when the underdog put himself in that own situation. And then there was this group of people, there's a large group of people back in Jesus' day and age that no one saw. I mean, everyone kind of saw them, but they saw them but kind of kept them, get back. And when this subset of the culture tried to get close to Jesus, Jesus' followers rightly, according to the culture, said, hey, keep them back. This is Jesus. He's too important for that group. And Jesus rebuked his followers for keeping that group from him. And he said, hey, do you know what group I'm talking about, by the way? The children. He said, let the little children come to me. This was unheard of. The notion of children being in an adult setting in Jesus' day and age was unheard of. Jesus said to the least, come on, let them come to me. And then someone mentioned the lepers. These were another social outcast people. They actually had to wear bells on their clothes so that when they walked, they would ring so that you wouldn't accidentally touch one of these lepers. Because if you accidentally touched one of these lepers or had their, they were so vile, if their shadow crossed over your feet, you were unclean and you needed to do some rituals to get clean. But Jesus walked right up to that social taboo and he put his hands on the touchless leper and touched him with the gift of love and made him whole, not only in body, but in spirit and mind. You can't read the story of Jesus and not see that he really loved the least of these. And so I'm wondering, what does your faith journey look like? really, these are the questions that I want you to wrestle with. Is your faith journey, I mean, right, we've been for a long time now, since October last year, about a year, we've been talking about this discipleship journey that we want to be on. We have this Grow tool online where you can take this assessment and discern where you're at in your faith journey. Are you like a seed that is new to the faith, or are you like a root that, you know, has some understandings of the faith where you're growing roots, or are you like a tree that's, you know, reaching up to God and blessing the world around you? See, the goal for all of us is to move in a process of journey. And I've been saying for years that over there's a fire alarm, right? And some people are like a fire alarm, not even seeds in the faith yet. And that's totally fine. So whether you're a fire alarm, a seed, a root, or a tree, there needs to be movement in your faith journey. And the best way to describe if you are growing in your faith is to answer the question, are you serving the ones that Jesus served when he walked on planet Earth? Are you loving the lost, the least, and the lonely the way Jesus did? Because quite frankly, to move into the tree level of discipleship, it's a self-evaluated tool. To be a tree in the faith is to be someone who doesn't just know a lot. You know, we can have all the knowledge of the world, right? But we've labeled, you know, the Christian knowledge without any action. That's like Christian bobblehead dolls, right? That we have so much in our heads, we're just like, oh, I know it all. But to be a root level disciple, or to be a tree level disciple, isn't just to know, but it's to put in action the things you know. And so when I'm sitting here talking about a Jesus who loves the least of these, I'm not just holding up something for you to know. I don't want you to just say, hey, I know about this Jesus now. I want you to do that which you know. And we'll never be a church filled with trees until we become a church that puts into action the things that we have learned. So when we're early in our faith, maybe, you know, down here in the seed level and root level, it's good for us to focus on learning things. But sooner or later, that which we learn needs to become action. And if it doesn't become action, we're like Christian bobbleheads or pew potatoes or collecting dust sitting on our church butt. So what is your faith marked by? Is it simply gathering knowledge? Or is it putting into practice that which you know? Jesus really loved the lost, the least, and the lonely. And I need some response in this one. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bummer for you. Because maybe before today, you could plead ignorance. I didn't know I was supposed to love the lost, the least, and the lonely. Y'all just said you heard me, right?
Yeah.
Now you're on the hook. You're on the hook. Right? I've given you some information. It's not enough for you to just know. Now you're on the hook. You got to do something with it. Jesus loved the lost, the least, and the lonely. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Jesus loves the underdog. Do you? I'm asking, don't answer this, but I'm asking, you need to finish this sermon this week on your own. Do you love the lost, the least, and the lonely? For truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Your life needs to be marked by love for this group of people. Well, I have good news for y'all. Want some good news?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy getting convicted on all that, so sometimes we'll give you a little breath. Here comes some happy news. The elders of the church and the staff of the church. So the elders are kind of the folks like you who walk with the Lord, love the Lord, have been growing in the faith for a long time. Not people on staff of the church, but people who kind of lead, oversee the ministry of the staff and this church. They, along with the staff of the church, we just have approved two ministries that will be coming. So when I say we have approved ministries, we don't know all the details yet, but I'm going to tell you we're finding out all the details, and you're going to know the details as soon as we know. Do you want to know what these two new ministries are?
Yes.
One of them is a halfway house. We have a house that has been given to us for us to do a ministry out of for guys coming out of prison, coming out of addiction, to help them put their feet back on the ground firmly and free. Because Jesus came to proclaim good news to those who were oppressed or those who were prisoners. This is good. And so with the thought of the lost, the least, the lonely in mind, the elders and the staff said, yeah, we've got to do this one. We'll take that house. Thank you very much. And we'll do some ministry. We don't know the details, but it's coming. And some of you are going to be excited to get involved with that. Even right now, as we mentioned that, some of you felt a little extra pitter-pat in your heart. I'm telling you, that might just be the Spirit saying, that's the one for you. That's it. And then a second new ministry, again, we don't know the details yet, but we know it is going to be coming in full force, is we've decided with the elders and the staff to unleash a full-fledged special needs ministry for those who have special needs and family for those who have special needs. It's coming. And some of you, when you hear that we're going to unleash a special needs ministry to the community, some of you felt something quicken in your soul. It's because you, when you feel that quickening of the soul, agree with what we began talking about back in January of this year when I began saying, in January, I think the Lord has more in store for everybody who calls the river their home. Do y'all remember that? I said, there's more in store. And then for months, I'm just like, hey, there's more for us. There's more for us, but I have no idea what it is. So let's pray. Let's fast. I don't know. But we've been saying there's more in store. Well, we're beginning to see the clarity of what the more in store is. And that is that the river becomes a mercy machine that changes the face of Kalamazoo. And you're a part of the church, so you're going to help change the face of Kalamazoo. So is your life marked with love for the lost, the least, and the lonely? Well, that's those of you who are feeling a tug into purpose. I prayed, though, for two groups today. If you have a pulse, what? You have issues, right? Yeah. But what about those of you who feel right now like you are lost, you are the least, you are the lonely? Can we see Shoeshine Boy again? Look at this mild-mannered little fellow biting that little coin, hoping it's real, down to his last little dime. And if you know anything about Shoeshine Boy, he was looked over. He was kind of set aside. No one thought he would do anything special. You might even say that this guy, Shoeshine Boy, was the lost, the least, and the lonely. They didn't expect anything of him. They didn't expect anything of him. I'm going to say that again. They didn't expect, the people in his life, they didn't expect anything of him. He was just the lost, the least, and the lonely. And yet this guy became this guy. And I love the story of Underdog because they didn't expect anything from him, but something happened, and that guy, that little dog, he's a beagle, I think, he was expected to do nothing, but something happened in his life where the lost, the least, the lonely became the powerful and effective and the one that changed the world and rescued people from their own dilemma. So I'm telling all of you who feel right now like Shoeshine Boy, if you feel like the lost, the least, and the lonely, God sees you, God knows you, he's got freedom for you, and he doesn't just want to get you free for your sake, he wants to free you so that you can be like Underdog rescuing people in your world. It's coming if you are the lost, the least, and the lonely. So, quite frankly, that's a picture of every single one of us. And that's us. God chooses to use normal people like us to change and to bring freedom to the world we're in. All of us. All of us need the Jesus who loves the lost, the least, and the lonely. Because all of us at some point in our lives were or are or will be the lost, the least, and the lonely. And having been transformed by Jesus who had a ministry to the lost, the least, and the lonely, we're called to love those whom he loved. The lost, the least, next week, lonely.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.